Hey guys, this is Eric from the Nordys Podcast. I know you love listening to our podcast each and every week, but this time you can actually be there in person. That's right, this Thursday, March 29th, 7 o'clock, we're going to be coming to you guys from Bauhaus. So make sure you're there. We'll have some special guests. We have KFan and Minnesota Wild's own Mark Parrish. We'll have some giveaways, and you can enjoy some of the finest beer in the Twin Cities at Bauhaus. Hopefully we'll see you there at 7. You're listening to the Nordys Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How's it going, guys?
Great. I feel as good as Sister Jean.
Wow. She's happy, huh? Good.
Oh, yeah.
Good mood.
She's everything that the media could have ever dreamed of.
She's like what the Millie or whatever could have been for Minnesota had we gone to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Could yeah.
Instead, she's going to die with no rings.
Yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen.
So sad. And so may we all.
Yeah, I think we all will.
A little more likely for Millie.
We were on like just a slight incline, and then now we're in the basement.
That's how it goes.
All right, guys. Well, hey, before we jump into anything, like we said in our opening, we're gonna be at Bauhaus this Thursday, March 29th, 7 o'clock. We'll be there for a few hours. We're gonna be doing some live pods for you guys. We'll have some giveaways. We'll be drinking Bauhaus beer. We'll have a bunch of merch there. We'll have some special guests, including KFan's own Mark Parrish. It's funny that I now say he's from KFan instead of former Minnesota Wild player. Former,
it's a huge station, yeah. And he's part of the biggest morning show.
Yeah, but I
so,
mean,
yeah. he's probably more famous now than he was when he was playing.
Saying New York Islanders color announcer Mark Parrish doesn't quite ring true here at home. So you got to have something local. So that's the perfect tie to play.
Yeah, so make sure you're there. It's going to be a lot of fun. You don't have to pay anything extra other than just buying yourself a couple beers, and all the takes will be free. All the hot takes.
As always.
All the great content coming to you free that night. So just get there. There'll be a lot of people. Should be a lot of fun. We'll have some fun giveaways. We'll have some stuff that's a little interactive. And you guys can just watch us do our thing in person.
Yeah. It's super exciting to watch us talk into three microphones for 45 minutes. It's really exciting.
It's pretty riveting stuff.
You have to see it
to really experience it.
Yeah.
It's one and a half really good-looking guys. Just doing their thing.
Not going to say who's who.
Yeah, just doing hot takes. It's going to be great.
I mean, you can just say my name for the not good-looking people. That's fine. I'm totally okay
Baby,
with
you're
that.
Gorgeous.
No, but it's going to be awesome. And here's the other thing. I feel like there's going to be a bunch of people there, you know, supporting us that we know and stuff, and that's going to be awesome. Yeah. And then there's going to be the other half of the people that are there. And they're going to be like, who the fuck are these guys, and why are they talking about 90s sitcoms? Yeah. Can we just throw some Muzak on and listen to some Elton John and Metallica?
Hey man, it's gonna accommodate everybody, okay? It's not gonna be like, you know, sit in your folding chair and remain quiet until intermission. It'll just be a party. So if you want to listen to us, feel free. Stop talking and listen. Otherwise, yak it up, drink your beer, have a good time.
Yeah. If you're not gonna listen, we're gonna turn it up louder.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, if anyone wants to play Simpsons, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I call, I think it's Marge I'm best
with.
Oh,
no, yeah. She's vacuum?
Yeah, she's got the vacuum.
She rips that vacuum up.
She's OP as hell in that game.
The problem is everybody wants to be Bart because they think Bart's cool, but he's kind of lame on that game.
He is the worst
superpower. Spins around on the skateboard.
Can you play as Maggie?
No, you're looking for Maggie.
Oh, okay.
She was taken, so.
It's horrible.
We'll do that. We'll have a great time. Hopefully we'll see you guys
there. Wait, the game is based on a kidnapping?
Yes.
Wow.
Like, she has, like, a diamond, and it, like, bounces around and, like,
oh, it goes
replaces her pacifier or whatever. Yeah. And then she, like, it's taken by Smithers.
Fucking Smithers.
I played a lot. I spent a lot of my parents' money on that.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
So make sure you're there. It's Thursday. We all know the weekend starts on Thursday. I took Friday off. I hope you guys do the same. So hopefully we'll see you there. Should be a whole lot of fun. Until then, we're going to give you guys a quick little sportscast here. Before we do that, we have a beer in front of us. What are we drinking, guys?
We're going back to Colorado. Apparently I love picking Colorado beers. I don't know why. Wasn't a whole lot of local unique releases that we had
tried
recently.
There's some breweries that are consistently turning out crazy new stuff. It's like Junkyard and Drekker. Just every time I go, there's something new, and I'll buy it for me, but we can't keep featuring that. So yeah, man, we're branching out.
Yeah. So they're from Denver actually. And Crooked Stave was supposedly this, you know, 5-6 years ago, oh, they're doing everything so much more unique than everyone else, and their beer was ungodly expensive, and it still kind of is. Maybe it's been in cans here for a while, but I haven't seen it. I've only seen their bottles.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen
their
it in
bombers
cans.
Or whatever. So maybe this is a new thing for them. I did not do any
Potts
research.
Has brought over cans before. Okay. I mean, all the brewer guys think this Crooked Stave is incredible.
Yeah. But like, if you want to get one of their bombers, they're like $25.
Yeah. Just fuck that. Just never going to reach for that.
So I saw the cans. Reasonably priced. Not any more expensive than anything else. They did have a Brettanomyces IPA that was like $14 for 4 12-ounce cans. So I was like, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
So this one's just their American IPA. They call it fresh, juicy, tropical. I think it hits all of those notes. It's a little hazy. It's a little lighter.
It's pretty hazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of like the trendy beer without advertising being like, you know, well, what's the keywords? Double dry hopped. You love to hear that. Hazy is a big one. You know, Northeast style IPA is big. And they're just sort of like, no, it's all those things, but it's really just an American pale ale, and that's what we're going
to
go with.
If I had to compare this beer to an actor or actress,
okay,
I would compare it to Tom
Robert
Hardy.
Redford. Oh, okay, who?
Tom Hardy.
Okay.
Not flashy.
Mm-hmm.
Always gets the job done professionally.
All right.
Only isn't good things. It's really good. It's not over the top. It's just a really good professional
Can't understand
beer.
What the fuck they're saying.
I'm just saying. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. No, I just think they just did a great job. It's just like a really good beer from a good brewery.
I think it's really good. Yeah. I'm super pumped about it.
Is there a difference between a hazy beer or a juicy unfiltered? Are those kind of the same thing?
It's just like the words that you need to sell beer these days.
Yeah.
And I am that guy looking for those words and buying up anything. I mean, I'm a sucker for it. It's just so tasty.
I fall into it
every
time.
It's so fucking good every time.
This is really good.
I think that there's a big issue. So I went to a liquor store, which I won't name. It's actually further north of here. So sometimes I think being in Northeast Minneapolis, we're a little bit spoiled with our options for beer, even in liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like there's so many liquor stores around the Twin Cities and further out in Minnesota, definitely, that are like these huge places, right? They have just an insane amount of product. They have just cooler after cooler after cooler of beer. And I go through the whole thing and it's like nothing I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And they have nothing exciting. They just have a ton of like the staples, you know, like every single brewery is like main beer or two. And I'm just kind of sick of that.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's crazy.
I'm sick of like these kind of like not local beers, but domestic, you know, national beers coming in like Bear Republic. I don't need 15 options from Bear Republic. I don't even like any Bear Republic. I don't even like their Racer 5 shit that everyone thinks is so good.
Like Boulevard.
Yeah, like doing that Boulevard. Just like stack the cooler with shit I don't want. Every style of a brewery that I'm not interested in. I'm sick of that.
I know. And it's like the local beer scene here is so good that I don't want just the top two from Indeed and Insight and so on and so forth. I want them to get the cool new ones, even if they can't keep them in stock for very long. I think the most exciting thing is going to the liquor store and knowing this is your one chance to get a beer.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That it's going to be gone the next time you go there and you may never have another chance to get it. And that's really fun. So.
Mirror Universe was that. Luckily, we got that, you know, ahead of time. But that was, I mean, there were places tweeting and posting pictures like, yeah, we're out. Sorry. We got two cases and it was gone in an hour.
Fair State, we're buds.
Yeah.
Man, they hooked us up. That was so awesome.
Big time. But like Hooey was like that, like right out of the gate. There's been, what's the drink by? Is that Stone that does that? Like a lot of those things. But that is a really cool aspect. The other problem is sometimes you see liquor stores that are like the craft beer cooler that they have is sort of an afterthought. Like they set up a bunch of used coolers that they found somewhere. And like you said, there's a couple staples. There's some Summit Unchained. There's the Insight beers. And it's just like, if you're going to do these, get the good stuff. If you only have like four coolers, get some really good stuff.
Like, I know. Or like I was at, so the place I was at was this huge place and they had not a single, I walked up and down and anything that was even remotely fun, I was like, I think I've bought this here before because there's like
it's the same shit.
Yeah. And then I look and there's half of a cooler of clown shoes.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what the fuck is that about? Why? So yeah, figure it out, guys. You need half the ciders you have. You need no clown shoes and you need to get out there and get some of the cool stuff.
Maui Brewing doesn't need it. No.
I just,
you
know, I won't say anything about that. I haven't tried it yet. Have you tried it?
Maui?
Yeah.
And it's no good?
I drank a lot of it when I was in Hawaii.
I get the mix pack sometimes in the summer because it's like cheap and fine.
Okay.
It's just
because it's everywhere now.
It's fine.
and I haven't picked anything up.
You're not going to drink a Maui beer and say, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is the best.
Unless I was on a Maui
Hawaiian
beach.
Hawaiian red ale I've ever had. Yeah. In Minnesota in March.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, something you are going to say, oh my gosh, this is the best I've ever had, is our social media accounts. When you follow them, make sure you give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordeast Podcast. We've been trying to come at you with more content than ever, and you guys have been, you know, taking part in questions and kind of giving us a hard time about things more than ever as well. And I love that. That's the most fun part of
that
it.
That is the most fun.
So definitely follow us on there if you don't already. Ask us some questions. Tell us what we got wrong. Last week we did an MTV rundown of old MTV shows.
That was fun.
It was fun.
If you're listening to this and haven't listened to that, go back and check it out.
I think a lot of people really liked it. It was a lot of fun. It brought a lot of people down memory lane.
I think the picture that was chosen really got the audience interested in what we were talking about.
Yeah.
But also, one of our loyal listeners, Bubba, he came at us with Where the Hell is Wild Boys?
Dude,
he's right. He's right.
I know, and I love that. We need to know when we fucked up.
That's
and
my
we did.
Fault. I messed up. I should have had Wild Boys in there. It's an absolute MTV staple. It was like Steve-O and Pontius at their finest. And then they had that one guy who always seemed like he probably like was a criminal in a past.
So he was like the jacked old guy that was really tan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he with the long hair.
Yeah,
he was his name?
Manny.
Manny. Manny.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Nah, I don't think he was a criminal. I think he just like never had a solid job ever in his life. He smoked pot and surfed his whole life. And like he's like, yeah, I know how to kill an alligator because he had to do it like one time to eat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I was like living in the Florida Everglades, man, and I was hungry as shit.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys listened to that. It was a lot of fun talking about some of those old shows. And I mean, it just seems like where did they all go? When did we decide we were done having themed teen dating shows?
I don't know. It's really good. I mean, it's a good thing all this shit is over with. And like TV now is better than it's ever been. Like, the quality is up, up, up. But it does make you kind of miss, like, you know, Queer Eye comes back on Netflix and is excellent. And we're like, oh shit, some of this kind of old format stuff was so cool. It's kind of like already having a next wave possibly.
How fast are they making season two of Queer Eye?
They were filming like the second it hit. I mean, yeah, they're going quick.
They couldn't make it fast enough.
Yep.
I think everybody kind of just blew through it.
Oh yeah, dude, it was excellent.
So sports.
Oh yeah.
All right, guys.
Shit. It's a sports cast. All right, let's
sorry go. To interrupt. I mean, it's really good conversation.
Yeah.
Wrong segment.
Wrong segment.
True.
What are we at? Like, you know, 12. 13 minutes already without mentioning sports.
It's entertaining.
All right, let's go.
All right, guys. So NCAA tournament, we're into the Final Four. What are our matchups? We have Loyola Chicago versus
Michigan.
Loyola Chicago is what, an 11 seed?
Correct.
One of the lowest seeds to ever make the Final Four, I believe.
Correct.
And they're against 3-seed Michigan, who really kind of turned it on late in the season, struggled off the bat, really picked up the defense, and they won the Big Ten tournament, right?
Yes.
And they've just been kind of on fire ever since. They made it to the Final Four. Probably the favorites to go to the title on that side.
You think that, but like Loyola's just playing out of their mind. So, and they're on a 15-game winning streak
now. They're like making short work of everyone, too.
So I had in my Calcutta bracket or my Calcutta draft. Sorry, I don't mean to use the B word in front of Eric. And he'll fly off the handle if I mention anything about that. But I had Kansas State. I had Florida State. And I have Kansas. And I thought, Kansas State playing Loyola, easy money, guaranteed I'm going to have a team in the Final Four. And they got worked by Loyola. So maybe Kansas State just wasn't that good, or they had a bad day, or Loyola is playing some of the most creative, fun, good basketball from an unknown team that we've ever seen. So I'm excited. I don't know if anybody, I think Michigan is a more compelling matchup to be in the finals, especially from a, but then you got Sister Jean on the side of Loyola, and you can't compete with God. So don't mess with that. And she's as surly and amazing as you could possibly imagine.
She's literally the best type of mascot. A real human being who is seen as a mascot at this point in time. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
They don't want to interview any of the players after the game's over. They could not care less.
Where's Sister Jean? Where's she at?
They have her own like separate like interview room where they wheel her into it. She's got the hat on backwards. The Final Four hat on backwards, and then they interview her, and she says a bunch of nonsense that doesn't really make sense.
Where do you think she'll be plying her trade next year?
What do you mean?
Which school will offer her more?
Duke? Maybe?
The chaplain of Duke.
Yeah. TCU?
Yeah. Or here's the other thing. How many schools is it? It's a chaplain? Is that what the job is?
Sure. I think so.
So how many schools are going to have their own version of celebrity chaplains from now on?
They're going to try. But this is so organic. You can't recreate this.
No,
anyway,
you really can't. No, it's exciting. Yeah, let's expect Michigan to go through, though. I mean, they really, really, really have turned themselves into one of the finest teams in the country. And I have just...
So are we rooting Big Ten at this point?
No, I'm rooting
for... You got to go Loyola, right?
I'm going Loyola Chicago, 11 seed. I've never even heard of Loyola Chicago before, like 2 weeks ago. And that's really exciting. Yeah, that's the reason that we watch sports, and I want it to continue on. I would love them to win the title.
So would you say you're excited to watch that game?
No.
Okay. I was hoping.
No, I love sports, guys. I watch just random sports all the time, and I have watched very little of the tournament because I'm not a big college basketball fan. I know it's like blasphemy. Everyone thinks that they're the biggest college basketball fan. It's so average. It's like watching
a lot of passing.
It's watching
a lot of bricks.
Really bad. It's like if the NBA was like lacking athleticism and shooting.
Right, because they're not NBA players, they're college players. So if you compare it to good college basketball, it's good.
No, but here's what I would
say. You're comparing apples and oranges, be like, it's not as good as the NBA. Well, no shit, because only 1% of those guys go play in the NBA.
No, but here's my counter argument would be that college football has kind of created almost a different version of football than the NFL. They were like, oh, we don't have nearly as many good players. Cool. Well, let's just have shootouts that are like Big 12 football, and it's like 64-60, and we just throw bombs all day, and there's just so many athletes on the field, and no one has any defense. It's like college football has become like this place of innovation, and the offenses are so crazy, and they're trying things that have never happened in the NFL. And it's like this like breeding ground of like fresh ideas in football. And so they've like created something that is exciting, even if they aren't as good as the NFL. Where college basketball is like, our guys can't shoot very well, and we're just going to make the possessions longer. And they're going to run three-man weave at above the three-point line for the first 24 seconds before someone hucks up a brick.
I would agree that the shot clock being 30 seconds, but it's only 6 seconds longer than the NBA. That's not that much longer, but I understand that it can get a little slow, but you could make the same argument for NBA teams that don't want to let teams like the Warriors get out and run and have more possessions. So you limit them to possessions, your odds of winning theoretically improve because you're limiting the amount of time that they have the ball. So that's just good coaching, in my opinion. So it may on the surface seem boring, but they're making the correct tactical decisions.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I'm not saying it's bad. Now I'll watch the Final Four. It should be pretty fun. On the other matchup today, a classic matchup in college basketball, you had Kansas winning in overtime over Duke, the one versus the two. Two of the true great teams in college basketball year after year. And then the other one was Villanova, another one seed, beating Texas A&M, who, even though they were a three seed, I think was a bit of a surprise that they made it so far. But yeah, the other side is not so surprising. It's not the 3 versus the 11. It's 1 versus 1, Kansas and Villanova. Who do you like in that matchup?
I mean, I think you got to give it to Villanova. They crushed, like, moving through. And there were a couple games where it was close about midway through the second half, and then they just demolished them. They're pretty deep. But Kansas has got a lot of good players too. They're a little thin up front with their big guys. Who they get their big guy Azubuike is fouled out, I think, in the last two games. So if that happens, they're going to be in big trouble. But I got Kansas in my Calcutta, so I'm Rock Chalk Jayhawk all next week.
How much can you win?
If Kansas wins the whole thing, a decent chunk.
Okay,
we'll just say that.
A few hundred, maybe.
Okay. It'll be interesting. I was staring at, you know, my two teams meeting for the finals, which would have been just cigar and champagne, you know, before the tip off even happened. But that quickly fell.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. I think it's been a fun tournament.
You got me going on the Calcutta format. I might be in next year
because of the spreadsheet.
He showed me this incredible spreadsheet, dude. It had formulas. It had a really nice color scheme.
Color coding was on point.
I mean, you were using different line weights around the, you know, like the grids. Whew. man, very sharp.
Yeah. So if nothing else, we'll just let Jimbo do work on the spreadsheet. Yeah, he'll love it. Yeah. So we'll get you in that way.
That sounds good.
So currently the betting favorite is Villanova, followed by Michigan, followed by Kansas.
Wow, Michigan ahead of Kansas. Wow. Well, because they have to play Villanova.
Yeah, I think it's just the idea is that there's a pretty good chance that they get into.
At the very least, Kansas is playing the hardest opponent, theoretically, of the three. So, yeah, makes sense.
All right, guys. The other thing we need to talk about is the Minnesota High School Basketball Tournament, where pretty much our neighborhood kids, Columbia Heights, made it to the championship game. They lost to the dreaded Delano.
But they weren't any good, right? Delano wasn't even ranked some. I mean, were they the favorites or what?
No, I think the favorites were De La Salle, who Columbia Heights beat.
Right. So. That's why I thought that they were going to kind of sail into the championship here.
So I think they probably, as they like to say, shot their wad. Beating De La Salle, and they kind of ran out of steam against Delano. But in the big game, it was one seed Creighton-Durham Hall and two seed Apple Valley playing in what was an absolute classic. I just happened to be watching the second half of the game, and it was a wonderful basketball game. Back and forth action, big time.
We got Young Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredible. Trey Jones, if you guys haven't watched him at all, he is one of the finest basketball players that has ever come through high school basketball here. Quite a bit better than his brother.
Mm-hmm.
His brother was amazing. Obviously,
we're talking about Tyus Jones, Wolves player, by the way.
So obviously, Tyus was incredible. He went to Duke. He hit the game-winning three in the national championship game. He got drafted in the first round and has been a pretty solid professional player. His brother's much better. I'm not saying he's a top five pick.
And where's he committed?
Duke as well.
Duke. Damn. All right.
Yeah, his
ceiling. So we'll see him in the NBA in 2 years, huh?
Yeah. His ceiling is definitely higher than Tyus. But, you know, I'm not saying he's going to get drowned out at Duke. Eric and I were kind of talking about this before. Just there's a lot of superstars that go to Duke, right? If you go to Minnesota,
holy shit.
I'm not saying he was ever, like, even entertaining that
notion.
We'll
make him look horrible. It'll be awesome.
Could be horrible, or you're like 32 points a game, like stud guy where everyone's like, man, we got to have that guy. Like Duke, you could score 13 points a game and still be a first-round draft pick just based on upside.
Yeah.
I hate that word, but just based on the potential that you could have. So it'll be fun to see him play college ball and see what he can really do.
Yeah, and then on the other end of it, you had Aturu, who's the big center for Creighton. He is...
Yeah. It was Creighton. Oh, you're talking about the Columbia Heights game. Sorry.
No, I was talking Creighton versus...
Sorry, I'm an idiot. I was thinking De La Salle. I will shut my mouth. Carry on.
So he's the big center from Creighton-Durham Hall. He is going to Minnesota next year.
And that's good.
He is... I'm not saying he's the best player they've ever recruited, but he's the highest ranked at his individual position of any player that's ever been recruited by the Gophers in basketball. They have him as the third ranked center in the entire country right now.
Wow. So, all right. So he looked good?
He looked wonderful. If you paid attention to the game or you watched SportsCenter, you just have a pulse and were on social media last night, you saw the final seconds of the game where they... Apple Valley scored late to take the lead. There was like 5.5 seconds to go, and Creighton had to inbound it at half court. The kid throws the worst ever inbound pass, if you guys saw it.
It was terrible.
He throws it into three guys from Apple Valley, and somehow the Creighton kid comes up with it. They go storming the other way as the clock is ticking down. A pass to the wing to the little point guard, who I thought was throwing up a terrible runner, but instead he was throwing an alley-oop to Aturu, who slammed it home with a 0.6 seconds, 0.5 seconds on the clock.
To win by one, huh?
To win the championship by one. It was on SportsCenter last night. Every big social media account around the country was tweeting it out. It was a pretty cool sports moment. And it seems like Minnesota State basketball always has huge plays. If you guys remember, about 10 years ago, the SB for Play of the Year.
Blake?
Was Blake Hoffarber from Hopkins, making a shot from his butt at the buzzer to send the game into overtime. It won the ESPY for the best sports play of the year.
Wow.
Was he there
to accept it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so Blake Hoffarber from Hopkins ended up being a Minnesota Golden Gopher as well. Got the ESPY for the all sports for the entire year, play of the year from the Minnesota basketball tournament, which is just unbelievable.
That's absurd.
Yeah, so it's always kind of had some big time plays, and this was just another one. It was a lot of fun. Didn't pay a lot of attention to the tournament this year, but a great way to go out and a good way to showcase some really good basketball that's being played here.
That's two Play of the Year ESPYs that the state of Minnesota has won. The Blake one and then the Greg Lewis catch from Brett Favre.
Lewis, that one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one.
I was really excited.
The Favre throw against the Niners with 0 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah,
whatever.
I was at that game.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah.
It was the second coolest finish to a game I've ever been at in any sport.
Minus the Saints at number one.
Yeah.
Is that going to win, you think?
That for the has ESPYs to win this the coming ESPYs year.
It's that and then every other, like, it's that's 1A and then everything else is 4C.
All right,
like,
dude, we're going back to back Play of the Years.
I think that we need to do some research and some prep on this, but I think in the next couple of weeks we should go through a list and maybe even watch a couple of the greatest plays in the history of sports and see if how many of them can compete with the Minneapolis Miracle.
That could be Play of the Decade.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's a good call, and I definitely would not have to rewatch the Minneapolis Miracle, because I have it so I can shut my eyes and it's like a projector turns on.
But when you have it in your mind, is it to the Titanic theme?
It kind of now, yeah. One epic YouTube video just ruined me.
All right, guys. So time to move on. And this time we are going to talk about, we're going to have a little debate here. Who has the best playoff format of all of the sports? It could be college. It could be pro. Let's go through a couple of them, kind of just discuss what they look like, and then we can all kind of take our sides on it.
Yeah.
So if we start out with...
There's definitely some that need improvement.
Yeah. Obviously, we start out with the NCAA tournament. I think that's one that everybody really likes. I think it's up to 68 teams now. Single elimination, you know, brackets up to 16 teams with a play-in game, and, you know, it gets you down to 2-1s, a 3-11 this year. It's unexpected. It's one and done. The pressure is high in every single game. I believe that gamblers are having the best time of the whole year betting on this stuff. And it's probably the average to below average sports fans' favorite event. I don't mean that as an insult. I don't.
It sounds inherently derogatory.
Right.
It's just...
I just think like the people...
It just puts you up on a higher level than
everybody
else. Right,
that's what you're trying to say. Like,
yeah.
But you're not on my level, but if you do like the tournament...
I just think like everyone and their mom and their girlfriend's mom and their teacher and their best friend and like everyone's like, oh, the NCAA tournament, I'm not going to watch much of it, but it's amazing, you know?
It's well regarded. I'm not sure that helps.
You're not allowed to disparage the tournament anymore. You've run the tape to the end.
So are you going to say it sucks?
No.
Okay, so that's one example.
You're just saying the sport sucks. Look, if the sport sucks, then the tournament is incredible. Because look what it's happening. I mean, like, maybe you don't care all year and everybody cares. So the tournament must be ideal.
So pros for the NCAA tournament. The volume of games up front, like those, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, through the first couple rounds is amazing. Like, nobody cares about the play-in games, I guess, unless you're Syracuse fans who ended up doing pretty well. But that Thursday, Friday, just that saturation, some of them are winners, like, as far as the quality of games where it comes down to the wire. Some of them are blowouts, and sometimes they're expected. Even the blowouts that happen when a low seed beats a high seed is exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So format-wise, I think the NCAA tournament is doing it right. You can argue quality, whatever you want to do on that. But as far as like the formatting and the way that they do it and the setup where like one game ends and then you flip over the next one, there's 2 minutes left in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of goes on for the rest of the evening. They stagger them well. They've done a good job of spreading the coverage over four different networks for the first two rounds. So there's a lot of eyes on it. And I think they've done a really good job of, even though it's watered down to the sense of there's could be four games going on at the same time, there's enough commercials that they play. You can flip over to whatever matchup you think is going to be the best, et cetera, et cetera.
Here's what I'm going to say about the tournament, though. Great for fans. I don't think that it produces the best team every time, which a lot of them that we'll go into will.
Agreed.
NBA does. This is like if you reset everybody, okay, hey, we're going to give everybody 2 weeks off. We're going to meet back here. We're going to redo this thing and see what happens. It's going to be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
The same team isn't going to win. The same team isn't going to make the top. The final four is going to look different. I get that generally good teams go very far. fucked up things happen in a single basketball game. The number one
The number one team in the country lost to a 16 seed.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, like, redo it. They don't lose. They probably go deep. Maybe they win the whole thing. Yeah, exactly. So, very, very fun for the viewer. Doesn't necessarily find the best team. And a tournament is only designed to do that.
Agreed.
So, I think 100%. That's a minus.
I would agree.
Next. Oh, by the way, Barter, your take on it was bravo. It was great.
Okay.
It was a great take. James, your take was also great.
Thank you.
I'm dead serious. That's a good counter argument to like my like quality of the format mm-hmm. is that you're getting an 11 seed in the final four. That may be compelling from the underdog mm-hmm. story standpoint, but that may not be the best basketball team to be there.
No, great takes. Let's move on to the NBA quick. The NBA has changed in recent years. They used to have a 5-game series in the first round. I kind of wish they would go back to that.
Yep, me too.
I think that the first round is a little bit long. And the NBA doesn't have the number of good teams or the parity to really go on that long.
Mm-hmm.
It's too many games. There are too many injuries early.
It's like, stop making these one seeds beat the 8 seed 4 games.
Yeah, remember when Kelly Olynyk like broke Kevin Love's arm or whatever in the first round, and then the Cavs had no chance the rest of the way,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up going to the finals, and it was like LeBron versus an all-star team. Yeah, I mean, it's just I think the playoffs are a little bit long in the NBA. But I will say there are very few things in all of sports that are as good as the final four of the NBA playoffs.
The conference finals are incredible.
The finals are unbeatable as far as talent incredible. Versus talent.
Because you're finally at the level, and it's like, God damn it, do you have to be good to win in the NBA? I'm consistently good, and there's really only 4 teams that are going to be at that level.
And
everybody else is looking down.
Here's one of the kickers. If LeBron James is not in the Eastern Conference, I don't think that we're even entertaining the idea that the finals would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, all of his teams between the Cavs and the Heat have pretty much dominated.
He's gone to the finals, is it 8 years in a row?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If he's in the West, let's just say he plays for Phoenix or whatever. I'm not saying that would ever happen, but he plays for Phoenix. I don't think like the Dwayne Wade Heat versus the Warriors is anywhere near as compelling versus the LeBron-less Cavaliers. I'm not saying they would have made it, but any mm-hmm. other team from the East or like the Paul George Pacers back in the day, not nearly as interesting.
And they're just lambs of the slaughter.
They would get killed.
Too. Yeah.
I just think that the big thing has been like the big piece that has moved the NBA into must-watch television, especially late in the season, is LeBron James. I really believe that 8 years of pretty great finals, very few times has his team not really showed up. He has made he's made June basketball about as much must watch as any sport has ever been.
Yeah.
There was almost no people in the entire country that gave them a chance down 3-1 to the Warriors to even make it to game 7, let alone win the rest of the way. And they did.
Where do you guys rank that Game 7 in all-time games? It's got to be one of the 5 best games I've ever seen in sports.
Epic.
Yeah.
And then just like at the exact same time, you know, we're very similar. We had the Cubs-Indians Game 7. I mean, there's been
such
some amazing...
Such a good sports year.
Yeah, there's been some amazing sports lately. All right. So the basketball is obviously good.
It's great. It is. I mean, it can be a little bit predictable up until the conference finals, though. And then it gets extremely exciting.
Let's move
like,
over.
Can you imagine? Just let me just say this.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a foregone conclusion, and that's a minus, that it's going to be Rockets and Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
But that's going to be exciting. So maybe it's boring until then. But that'll be epic.
I would agree.
So that there's minuses and positives.
That is the minus. There's like 12 games you got to sort of sit through to get to the good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
And hope the good guys don't get injured.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's move to the World Series. In baseball, they've tried to make it a little more exciting in recent years by adding a wild card play-in game. I kind of think it's silly. I mean, I'm happy that more teams make it, but I kind of think the wild card playing game doesn't really, again, it doesn't really show you which team deserves to be there. It just, you know, is like who had a better pitching performance.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
I just don't know if I like that. I kind of think it's a little silly. I mean, the Yankees ended up having a nice little run in the playoffs last year, and they were losing to the Twins early in the game of the wild card game. I mean, there's a good chance one of the better teams in the league doesn't even make it if they don't have one good inning there. And so I think that might be a little silly. I know they're trying to get more teams. They're trying to keep fans invested a little bit more. But I would say that's one thing I'm not a big fan of. The other thing is with playoff baseball, the game could be the most exciting game ever, but the players suddenly step out after every pitch and readjust their gloves, and the pitcher steps off the mound and shakes off every pitch, and they build drama, build drama, build drama, and then it's a ball.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that one pitch just took 37 seconds. Like,
yeah, well, yeah, he walks that guy, then the manager comes out, pitching change, then there's a quick trip to the mound, and then you got to hear some stats about the guy coming in from the bullpen. He warms up. He throws a
break.
He beans a guy on the first pitch. Bases are loaded. Manager comes to get him because it's a lefty coming up to the plate.
Right, got to get him out.
So I agree that like the first like six innings generally kind of cruise.
Yep.
And then it comes to almost a screeching halt because it's the bullpen era of baseball. And that's the game today. Mm-hmm. But it also tends to slow things down a little bit. But generally in the playoffs, the pitches are tight. Like every pitch matters. Every at bat matters. Every foul ball matters. Every play call matters, and
there's just so many of all those things.
There's a lot.
Said.
I agree, but it's my favorite sport to watch. Especially baseball is one of my favorite sports. So I'm into it because I love the game. So, but I can completely understand someone who like never played baseball, isn't really that into it, would be like, oh my God, just throw the ball. Like
yeah,
I get that.
I don't watch any of it. I did follow the Cubs a little bit. That was very exciting. My boss is a Cubs fan, so that was an exception.
What did he do when the Cubs and the Warriors had a game on the same day?
He's not a Warriors fan, though.
Oh, I just assumed because he's a Cubs fan.
He lived in Chicago. He has reasons. But yeah, so I watched that. But generally, I don't watch anything until the World Series. And then even then, I'll just watch some of it sometime. So I get that the World Series has this kind of mystique. Prestige and a mystique, and it feels like it's you know essential because it's America's pastime. It's an old ass sport. They've been doing this for a long time.
And baseball just kind of
feels like it's important and must, and you'll hear a lot about it, even if you're not watching it. So I get that it's maybe the biggest, besides the Super Bowl, I suppose.
Nah, not anymore.
Not even close.
No, I mean, I get the Super Bowl is probably one bigger day.
Yeah, I think like NBA Finals is probably bigger now.
No, I don't think so.
Than
the World Series? Yeah. Nah. There's people that don't even know the NBA Finals are happening when they're happening. I guarantee that.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody knows when the World Series is happening and who's in it.
Let me just amend that statement. Everybody over 37 knows that the World Series is happening.
Hmm.
I would agree.
Shit,
it is.
You are in touch with the kids.
It is a little bit slower of a game, and it's not nearly as fun as exciting as like dunks and threes and stuff like that. But if you're a fan of the actual sport, then it is fun to watch. So, but the playoff format, I think. Like Eric said, it's a little silly with the one game playoff, and then I think they do a 3-game series, and then they do the 7-game, or excuse me, 5-game series, and then they do a 7-game series. So
yeah, I like that. I like the ascending though.
I do like that it gets like it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the wild card was a 7-game series, you'd be like, oh my God.
All right, I'm going to give you some stats here, okay?
Okay, please.
I'm going to be our stats guy.
Oh my God,
I love it. Of the most watched sporting events of 2017, okay. The NFL has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 10 most watched are NFL games.
Okay.
Then the College Football National Championship, followed by NFL. The Game 5 of the Cavs Warriors was 13th. NFL, College Basketball National Championship, NFL, a bunch of NBA, College Basketball, NBA, horse racing.
Oh my God!
College basketball, the Daytona 500, the Masters.
I think you've
tons of college basketball. the most watched thing for baseball was the Major League Baseball All Star Game as the 38th most watched event.
Oh my God!
Another horse racing event, and that was the only Major League Baseball thing in the top 50.
That can't, none of the World Series games?
That can't be right.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't even buy that. I just don't even think that can possibly be true.
So you were really excited to prove Jimbo wrong. And then at the end, you're like,
you're just not even
I don't think this includes baseball.
Well, they had the MLB All-Star game in there.
Maybe it cut off at a certain point because you listed a lot of stuff that ends like well before October.
Yeah, no shit.
So, but anyway, let's move on. What's the next format?
Next format would be the NHL playoffs. NHL playoffs, I believe, also made a change a little further back to move to 7 games in all rounds. But the NFL or NHL has two sections of 8, the East and the West. My only issue is now that they've split it into divisions, you actually have a divisional playoff to get to your final 4 teams. And I think that is so stupid.
When did they change that? Just recently?
2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Really?
It's so stupid now because you could have a great division and those teams all have to square off and only one of them can make it to the final 4. And I just think that's ludicrous. I really do. I think it's a terrible way to do it.
Yeah, I would. They overcomplicated it and tried to make it so that these divisional games mean more when in reality it doesn't and it shouldn't. And you're hurting your product in the long run, especially in the playoff format, by saying you're going to end up, you know, eating each other in a way. And that's bad, I think, if especially when you have, you like Eric said, if you have 3 quality teams in a division, it's like, don't you want those, like at least 2 of them to be in the conference finals? I think that's, that would be your objective.
Yeah.
Which is what the NBA does, you know, wonderfully. You know, they get the, they, like you said, 99% of the time, the 2 best teams are going to be in the conference finals.
Yeah. I mean, that is a problem too, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Like you'd like to see the final series be between the 2 best teams, and that's probably not going to happen this year or many years.
So from a format standpoint, like the seeding may be a little off for the NHL, but the format's pretty bland. Like they don't.
I think in general it's fun though. Maybe it's just because of the sport.
The sport for sure.
It lends itself to this.
Is the most It's the most exciting playoffs to watch for me.
Okay.
Because of how disciplined the teams get, how every possession matters, and you have every team at the top of their game. Because we've seen, and this could be a con too, 8 seeds make it all the way, you know, to the NHL finals because...
That's just hockey, though. It's random.
It's crazy. And I think that makes it also very entertaining.
Yeah, I think it's like how hockey is structured, though. I mean, they've just kind of built a league that is completely built on parity and not allowing super teams. I mean, they've just kind of destroyed that. And where the NBA has, you know, they've been excited for the creation of these super teams, I think people love to watch it. And I think if you watch TV ratings... The NBA is probably
does
right.
reflect that.
But if
yeah.
you like your team to have a chance every year and parity and teams going from worst to first and, you know, surprises on every turn in the playoffs, I think the NHL is probably better.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But that's, you know, that's a reflection of the sport.
By the way, guys, I have to adjust what I said. The 13th most watched event was the Game 7 of baseball.
Okay, so still the top 10
so
were
baseball,
the...
So baseball is...
Did you skip it on the list?
No, it's just that was a stupid list. I don't know why they put it out. So it's pretty much everything was the same. Their numbers were right, but for some reason they stopped at the end of July and then called it a 2017 list.
so half a year.
So they do pretty well. Their games are very comparable with the NBA. They're kind of right in the same ballpark as the NBA Finals, so... everyone else is looking up at the NFL.
Sure.
But they are kind of in the conversation for number 2.
You know, of course. But, I mean, I suppose if you were to take a series and look at overall viewers versus a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're condensing every single person into one Sunday or one Saturday. It's a,
the NFL's
they're
cool
huge.
With that.
That's so cool. Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic.
Because that can be... So going back to the NCAA tournament, here's a con. There are championship games on a Monday. Which is kind of
in football and basketball.
Yeah.
And stupid.
Like, what the hell is that?
So like Super Bowl Sunday is like a communal event. Like most people, like a lot of people have the game on, maybe care, maybe they don't. Mostly the guys, people are there for the commercials too. Like it's a whole thing. Like they turn it into this big.
You're gonna get tweeted at by like a lot of women. Yeah.
A lot of women football fans.
No, yeah. But I've been in parties where the guys are shushing you while the commercials are on.
Jeez, he also hangs out with a bunch of sexist dudes that shush
the
women.
That's not the parties I hang out at.
Get to the kitchen, he says.
Let me assure
those little
Smokies
aren't going to cook themselves.
Let me assure the listeners, those are not the parties that Jim and I are at.
No, that does not represent the views of this podcast.
But like, the point is, so, and we can segue into the NFL, which is the one and done does lend itself to a larger audience.
Yeah, right, for those
initially.
Games. Yeah,
right.
Those matchups.
Yeah, so actually, let's go to college football first. They have a new playoff system.
Don't get me started.
Where four teams make it, which it's completely based on math. No, it's not. It's completely based on opinion and money. And it's
super, and Condoleezza Rice.
It's super sketchy.
Can you send me the recipe for that? Sounds really good.
Really sketchy and really unfair. You had, what was it, Central Florida this year, who was undefeated even through bowl season and did not get into the Final Four because they weren't going to sell enough tickets. Because
they're Central Florida.
Yeah.
They're not Alabama. Yeah. They're not Clemson. They're not Ohio State,
so,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's such a sketchy recipe. No one is happy with it. The teams hate it. The coaches hate it. The fans hate it.
Oh, the coaches don't, Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, they love it.
Urban Meyer hated it this year.
No, but you know what I mean? But in general, like if Ohio State's got two losses, there's a pretty good chance they're going to make it into the Final Four because they're Ohio State.
Yeah. And if it's
the shadiest bullshit you can imagine.
It's still an improvement, though, from like a bunch of random bowl games and nobody knows who the best team in the country is.
And then we're going to leave it up to the sports writers to vote on who the best team is. That was the previous format.
Oh, that's what they were doing?
It was just like,
after all the bowl games were done, they said, hey, you know, we think that this is the best team of the year.
If there were two teams that were equal, this was even prior to them actually having a quote-unquote national championship game, because they didn't even used to have that.
Right.
It used to just be like, yeah, this is your bowl game.
Rose Bowl.
Right. Iowa against USC for the Rose Bowl, and we'll probably maybe decide. But if Iowa loses, Miami won, and so now they're both 11-1. And then we're going to leave it up to the sports writers and the AP to decide. Yeah. It's kind of stupid.
I mean, look, it's an uphill battle. It's an impossible task. There's too many teams in the country to play. Everybody plays each other. You can't do a tournament. There's too many teams. I mean, you could, but it would take forever, right? I don't know, because you need a week between games.
They could easily do a tournament.
They could do like a 16-team tournament or something. I think it's an 8-team tournament.
They put on, how many bowl games are there, Eric? Like 60? Bowl games. You're telling me you can't organize of those 60 games like an 8-team playoff? You can't logistically figure that out?
No, they should be able to do 8 teams, but it's not going to be 64.
I know. No, and it shouldn't be. Yeah. It shouldn't be 64, but they should at least, it shouldn't be this Final Four where it's all this like nefarious back channel, back room discussions, and it's like every single time it comes out, everyone is like, come on.
But wasn't it this year who won? Alabama?
Yeah, Tuliavola or whatever that guy.
So like Ohio was super pissed because like Alabama was picked, even though you know
neither of
Ohio should have been
deserved
whatever,
it.
Whatever. And then Alabama like won the whole thing. Yeah. So it's like, well, maybe they should have been picked then.
Yeah, but then Central Florida hung a banner and had a parade.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, I would do the same.
As best team in the country, why not? They were not allowed to prove it. So
college football format for quote unquote playoffs is, in my opinion, the most objectively terrible.
Okay. So we can all shit on that easily.
Well, let's move to the NFL quick.
Yeah.
So the NFL has a format, I think, that has, it's been going on for quite some time now. 6 teams from each conference make it. I think there can be an argument about the buys, but I love it. I think it's such a reward to get one of those buys. It's so critical to have the extra week of rest.
But it's also, you could argue, sorry to interrupt, you could also argue that for some teams, that bye actually hurts them. They're in a rhythm. Things are clicking on all cylinders. They take an extra week off. You're not, like, sports athletes and probably professional athletes live and die by the schedule, right? The coaches set that up so that they can't screw around, like everything's very regimented, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, we got an extra week. We're not gonna really practice that hard this first week, and then we're really gonna get back into it next week.
That is true, but you're also like, you're being given a win.
No, I understand. I totally get it. I'm just saying that sometimes that can actually be a detriment because like you come out a little flat.
Yeah.
You're not quite ready to play. The other team played the week before. They're dialed in. You know, they're ready to go. They've already had a playoff game under their belt this year.
Yeah, that was the Steelers and the Jaguars
this year.
I like the NFL, though. I think that their playoffs are really good.
So damn fun.
And it's crazy because there's an argument to be made that every round is the best. And I think the actual best round is the semifinals, the conference championship week. So exciting. It wasn't great for us this year, but it's just every year it's two really good games, two teams going to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is such a show and an event that you know, it might not even be the best way to watch the sport. But those conference championship games are so excited. I believe the round before that is called the divisional round.
Divisional round,
which is a weird name, really terrible.
This is wild card, divisional, conference, and then Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's another great round. The whole thing, I mean, they're just locked in. Every game has a bajillion people watching it from all around the world. You know, it might not lend itself because it's such a grueling sport and they can only play once a week to being the best format. But obviously it is working for them where like the top 10 most watched events are like all NFL playoff games.
They're doing it right.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
So what is your guys' favorite and least favorite?
I think my favorite is the NFL. I mean, it's exciting. And I watch games even if I don't have a dog in the fight, right? So I'm into it. It's exciting. It leads up to the Super Bowl, which is the biggest sporting event of the year, every year. That's my favorite. Runner-up, NBA. Love the NBA. That's a personal preference because I love the sport.
Yeah. From a format perspective, the NFL, the only critique I have for the NFL's format is that the division winners get the home game first, like in the first round. That's the only thing where you could have a team that's, I think we had this, a team that's 7-9.
The Saints were...
hosted the Seahawks. No,
they
that
went
were like,
to the Seahawks, and the Seahawks were 7-9.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks won.
Right. And the point is, like, you were 7-9, but you did win your division, luckily, and then you get to host a playoff game, even though the Saints were, like, 13-3 or something. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's what the record was.
That helps the actual season, and our actual season needs to matter.
Agreed.
Because it's longer, and it's really the bulk of what you're doing, so... It's cool that divisions matter in football. They definitely don't in basketball.
See, I think divisions matter like for rivalries, but I think that the future of sports might be divisionless or even conference-less. And it's going to take a visionary. It's going to take...
Adam Silver. Hell yeah.
To do something like that.
I thought you were going to say Vince McMahon and then to XFL.
Conference-less seating. I love it. I love it. I think it's great.
I think that's what they should be doing, and I just think...
Can you imagine like playing the box? It'd be so fun.
Or what about this? What if it was... you got to choose your seed based on, or you got to pick the team you played against based on where you finished. So the Rockets would get first pick out of 16 teams.
That's weird as hell.
They get to take anyone on they want. So first pick, they can choose any of the 16 playoff teams. You won the whole league. You
would be pick. Bonkers.
It was a televised draft. And then think of all the trash talk there.
Did you read that somewhere?
I heard some people talking about
that's
it at some
unbelievable.
Point.
Unbelievable.
But think about it. Like
I would, if I had a vote in it, I would say do that immediately.
Yes.
So imagine that they got their representative. So James Harden goes up on stage and is like, Houston would
for
like
the 2018 NBA championship. The Houston Rockets select the Milwaukee Bucks.
We'll take on the Detroit Pistons, and then the Pistons are all fired up.
Yeah.
Oh, we're the worst team. That would add a whole new layer. Yeah.
That would add a whole.
And
then it's new
like, and they
layer.
Were like, meanwhile, they were like an 11 seed or something like that.
Yeah, and you could take like Golden State and then it gets onto like the. You know, I know it's not perfect, but like a team like Boston is really banged up and injured right now. So say they were outside of the top eight. Well, the third team could say, well, Boston's the ninth best team,
but
they're all injured. We're taking Boston.
And they thought they were going to cruise through their first round.
Yeah. And so it would be so fun. It's so exciting. It's like, I think there's just too much like tradition tied to these tournaments. Not enough interesting, fun thinking to like, what would actually make for the best TV? What would make for the best competition? I think that's what it would be. You pick your opponent based on where you finish.
And honestly, if any sport needed it, it is the NBA. Because like I was talking about with the NCAA tournament, replay the thing, it's going to go totally different. I think that you could replay the NBA tournament 5 times in a row, and the same 2 teams are going to end up in the finals.
Well, just imagine how much that elevates the coverage, even leading up to it, and then afterwards. Like, well, what if they would have picked the Knicks instead?
The Knicks sucked, man. They would have been in for sure.
I can't believe they didn't take, whatever.
So imagine this. The Houston gets the first pick, right? And they walk up to the podium, and it's on TV. And
they go, the Warriors.
Yeah, we'll take the Stephen Curry-less Warriors.
We're going to have to play him
at some point. Curry's not healthy. We're taking him on. It gives me goosebumps to just
That's amazing because they're saying he's going to be out for the first round of the playoffs.
It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Like, how exciting would that be? Every sports fan and even fringe sports fans would be tuned in to see Kevin Durant's response.
The playoff draft. And then
I would love to see if that did his happen. Burner account's response. KD's the best. Doesn't matter who's picking who. He's gonna win.
Steph Curry would be on the first plane to Germany for like a deer antler spray, like blood transfusion.
Yeah,
like to fix his ankle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that this is the best thing they could do.
That's a fucking great idea.
And you know what? The NBA is the one league I think that would lend itself to actually working
because it's just the most fun.
Because
Adam Silver's actually making changes.
Well, because they could do the conference-less 1 through 16 very easily.
Yeah.
I mean, other than just tradition and the purists, and we need the baby boomers to die off to be able to make this happen. But like they could do this very easily. So just adding that additional wrinkle of you get to pick who you want to play,
mm-hmm.
1 through 4. You know, type of scenario. That would be incredible.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
I mean, there's no divisions in English Premier League.
No.
Everybody plays everybody.
Because divisions are stupid. I will say this final thing. I think that the NHL playoffs might actually be the best.
But the best games, but the format's sort of...
The format's so average, but yep. I'm just saying, I think the games are the best. I think it's the most dramatic sport because just like the end of the game... It's not like they can foul guys and send them to the free throw line. It's just like mm-hmm. action up and down the ice. It's
they actually insane. Pull another player to put more players on to try and score goals.
I mean, it's just hectic at the end of those games. And so I think if I had to watch like a generic sports game, I think I might, like a playoff game, I might choose hockey. I think it's just so exciting.
I can't argue against that.
And NFL is right there. I do love the NBA finals, and I hate the college football playoffs. It's
honorable mention to MLS. No, hard sarcasm.
No.
Ooh, I would say
tennis and MLS.
I also really, really, really am a fan of the Champions League, how they do that. But that's probably a conversation for a different day. I think the last thing we need to talk about is just a run into the playoffs for the Timberwolves and the Wild. Both of them at the very bitter end of their seasons.
It's been 58 minutes. He's like, we just got to talk about two more teams.
No, there's not much to say about them. Right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the seventh spot.
He only wants to keep going because he got beer left in his glass.
Yeah, I know. We're dry over here.
They have their 1.5 game lead on the 9 seed, which is getting a little scary. But the schedule is getting much better for the Timberwolves at this point. They finished the season up after a tough loss to the 76ers. They play the Grizzlies, who might only bring 4 guys out onto the
If the they court. Could get away with that, they would, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they could just show up and just say, we'll forfeit the game.
The way they could do that is just the coach would be like, hey, you are just going to like lay down and pretend you're injured for a little bit and then just get up once they've scored.
Seat 113, we got a jersey for you. Yeah. Come on down. Yeah. You're going to play point guard for 15 minutes.
That's followed up by another atrocious team that's tanking, the Hawks.
Yep.
Then we go on the road to play a team that's tanking, the Mavericks.
Yep.
And then we have a couple more difficult games. We host the Jazz and then host the Nuggets, two teams that are in close.
So those would be huge games to watch.
But we're hosting, and we play pretty well.
We host the Jazz, then we travel to Denver.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Then we travel to the Lakers.
I think the Nuggets are out. And I think by then, they're 10th seed right now.
I mean, the Nuggets currently are 1.5 games behind us in 9th.
Okay.
And the Jazz are a half game behind us in 8th.
All right, so it's all right there. We'll see what happens by then. Because at some point, these teams that are on the outside looking in will turn towards, hey, man, let's not try that hard.
I mean, the Lakers, Kings, Mavericks, Grizzlies, and Suns have quit. But the Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Timberwolves, Spurs, Pelicans, Thunder, and Blazers are in a dogfight.
Absolutely.
So, and then after that, they go to the Lakers. They host the horrible Grizzlies, and then they finish the season in maybe a playoff game against the Denver Nuggets.
I know. God damn, that could be crazy. So I don't want that to be exciting, but it could very well be.
Agreed.
8 games, end of the season. The run-in looks pretty good for them. What do we know about Jimmy Butler? Is there a chance he's back before the playoffs?
It sounds like it. He's in the gym. He's shooting. He's running around. He's trying to be back before the end of the season.
They really, really desperately
need
him.
Maybe like 2 or 3 games.
They're just not deep enough to play without him, and they just need him. Even if he could only come in off the bench, I think it would be a huge boost to the team.
You know, he might have like a minutes restriction, which would be fine.
I don't care.
He just needs to knock the rust off.
If he played 18 minutes a game, I think we'd be a better team for it.
Great if they're the last 18 minutes.
Yeah.
You're going to play only the second half?
And then finally, the Minnesota Wild, who we're currently watching. They're in a really good game with the Boston Bruins, one of the best teams in the league. They are coming off a victory over, I believe, the best team in the league, the Nashville Predators.
A convincing victory.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, and they are currently looking pretty good. If they can pull off a win tonight, they will be 5 points up with 7 games to go, which means they're not definitely in the playoffs, but they, you know, their chances are improving every single game here.
But they got just a brutal close to the season here.
Yeah. Do they?
So they just beat the Predators, who is the best team in the league. They're playing another one of the best teams in the league, the Boston Bruins, right now.
It is 1-1 with 3 minutes left. So
they
we'll
go to Nashville for the next game to play the Predators again. Then they play a home and away against the Stars, who are desperately clawing to get into the playoffs. They play a terrible Oilers team. They travel to the Ducks, the Kings, and the Sharks, all of which I believe are playoff teams. So they really and truly are playing playoff games every single night the rest of the way.
I mean, are they in the tournament, or is it sort of like, could they lose out and still be fine? Or?
No, if they lose out, they're probably out. But I think that if they can even go 500 or even close in those games, they should be just fine.
Okay.
There's somewhere I could look up what their odds of getting to the playoffs are. I would guess, as a non-mathematician with no data, no stats, no numbers in front of me, that their chance of getting in the playoffs is around 70.
Okay.
Yeah, so two of them. And here's the thing I have to tell you. This is shocking from where we were earlier in the year. I think that the Wild are a better team than the Timberwolves. I know they play different sports.
Mm-hmm.
But just in their respective sports, I think the Wild are better. I think the Wild will go deeper. And I think the Wild...
Oh, I don't expect the Timberwolves to win a series.
No, not anymore.
Amazing.
I mean, even the Curry-less Warriors, if we drew them,
oh, they'd pound us.
They'd fucking kill us. Piss pounded. Yeah.
I kind of want to play them, though.
Dude, we got to get a six seed or we're in big trouble. Even the six seed isn't great now because the Blazers are unbelievable. Yeah. Blazers have the third with a bullet now.
I almost think you'd rather play the Curry-less Warriors than a team that's just absolutely
killing
on
everybody,
fire.
Yeah. Winning by double digits.
Nah, because that team doesn't have Kevin Durant.
That's true. That's true. You're right.
I hate that guy.
All right, guys. I think that's all the time we have. Make sure you make it out this Thursday to Bauhaus at 7 o'clock. We'll be there. We'll do a sports cast. We'll do a screencast. We'll have some guests. On the sports side, Mark Parrish will be there. It should be a great time. You guys can ask us some questions, drink some of the finest beer that Bauhaus has to offer, and just have a great time. And if you're like me, you're not going to work on Friday. So let's hang out. Let's spend the night together. It will be a great time. You
Jesus, what are we offering here?
I thought you were going to go into Jamiroquai lyrics.
Yeah.
Wake up and live forever. Yeah.
So we're running out of time, guys.
More
sorry,
singing.
Sorry for singing.
More singing, please.
Yeah. We're running out of time. So we are going to make like a Trump lawyer. And we're gonna quit.